got more balls than all the Democrats in Congress combined. It's Bart Cop Radio.
The Patriot Act is getting results. It's a positive piece of legislation. Parts of it are set to expire. Congress needs to recognize that terrorist threats won't expire, and so they need to send me a bill that reauthorizes the Patriot Act.
Don't mean to scare you, but I guarantee they're not going to let a Democrat have that kind of power. They're not going to let a Democratic administration open everybody's mail, listen to everybody's phone calls, track everybody's purchases, track everybody's whereabouts. They're not going to do that. If somehow a Democrat backs into the White House, then they're going to say, oh, the Patriot Act has been ruined and perverted. Oh, we got no more Patriot Act there. And either that or there's not going to be any more Democratic presidents, which is the more likely of the two. The BFEE used 9/11 as an excuse to... Fuck. The BFEE used 9/11 as an excuse for the president to grab all kinds of power. All kinds of power. More power than any man's ever had, ever. With no checks, no balances, no nothing. He could do anything he wants. Anything. Spend anything, kill anybody, and he doesn't have to tell anyone, and it's all legal. You think they're going to let a Democrat have that kind of power? You can't be serious. You can't be serious. They're not going to do that. That should scare you.
With that, I'll be glad to take some questions. Tom.
Mr. President, of all the people in the United States you had to choose from, is Harriet Myers the most qualified to serve on the Supreme Court?
Yes, otherwise I wouldn't have put her on.
You dumbass, didn't you hear what I said? What are you, deaf? I already said she was qualified. Why would you ask again? I am God. I don't make mistakes. If I said it, it's true. You don't need to check.
She's a woman of principle and character. She's highly intelligent. She's been a pioneer in the field of law in my state of Texas.
George, when you say she was a pioneer in the state of Texas, does that mean she's one of the people that gave you $250,000 and thus became a pioneer? Is that how that works? And how the Republicans do it? If you give $100,000, you're a ranger or something. If you give $250,000, you're a pioneer. So you're saying she is a pioneer. Your personal secretary, your personal best little friend, your work mother. She's going to be on the Supreme Court and judge your crooked ass when Karl Rove gets caught. And Cheney, and Rummy, and you, and all of them.
She was the first woman hired by her law firm.
So Texas is full of bigoted, white, greedy oil men. We understand that. What else?
First woman partner, I mean, by the law firm.
So Texas is full of bigoted, white, greedy oil men. We understand that. What else?
She managed the law firm. She was the first head of the Dallas Bar, first woman at the head of the Dallas Bar.
So Texas is full of bigoted, white, greedy oil men. We understand that. What else?
First woman to head the State Bar of Texas. She's an enormously accomplished person.
Sounds to me like it had a whole lot more to do with timing and geography. At a time when the other 48 states, Mississippi or Arkansas, somebody was in there, but at a time when the other states were hiring women, Texas held out. I think it was until the 1970s, a woman couldn't own property in Texas. And the idea that this woman finally came along and broke the sex barrier after the other 49 states had already broken it, how is that an accomplishment? You finally let one in the door. All you're proving to me is that Texas was a little bit more progressive than Afghanistan and Saudi Arabia.
I don't want somebody to go on the bench to try to supplant the legislative process.
Do you think he has any idea what he's saying? Do you think George Bush would use the word supplant unless somebody wrote it down for him and explained what it was and what it meant and how to use it in a sentence? Probably a couple minutes before he took the stage here today. He has no clue what he's saying. They gave him some little bullet points, and he sat out for enough hours that he memorized six or seven of them. That's why he repeats the same answers over and over.
I'm interested in people that will be strict constructionists.
Strict constructionists. That's what we need. We got to have a strict constructionist on the Supreme Court. To be honest, I didn't know what that was, so I looked it up. And you know what it means? It means people who aren't going to recognize a woman's right to privacy. That's exactly what that means. He doesn't want somebody finding the right to privacy in the Constitution, which means women don't deserve the control over their own bodies. This is strictly code talk for anti-abortion. You women have lost your right to an abortion. What are you going to do about that? Are you going to wonder if anyone's going to be marching next September 24th?
I know her well enough to be able to say that she's not going to change.
There's a phrase we use a lot on the old BarkCop.com. Something Mr. Spock said when he was trying to get in the pants of the Klingon commander, who was female. Kirk had been acting a little crazy. It was all part of a plot. The lady Klingon commander asked Spock what Kirk was going to do. And he looked her right in the eye. He didn't want to lie, so he looked her right in the eye and said, "One man can never guarantee the actions of another." That's true, unless your name is Monkey Boy Bush. He's got the power to know you. He knows he's not going to change.
20 years from now, she'll be the same person with the same philosophy that she is today. She'll have more experience. She'll have been a judge.
Well, hey, then that makes perfect sense. We should appoint her now to make decisions that will affect every single American. But don't worry, in 10 years, she will have been a judge. Perfect.
But nevertheless, her philosophy won't change.
Man, that sounds a whole lot like Saddam has weapons of mass destruction for sure. And he's going to launch in 45 minutes for sure. So we have to invade for sure before the mushroom cloud shows up. But your record of predicting the future is way worse than mine. Oh, Christ, you couldn't tie my jockstrap.
Yes. Yes.
Is why I went to law school, to argue the issues.
Oh, yes, a lie. Who wore me tears to thousands of mothers' eyes when they're starved to have to fight and lose their lives. War, good God, y'all. What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Yeah!
Over there, send the word, send the word over there.
Part of the song.
Getting both points of view across. Love it. Great area.
Well, what was with all the good God y'alls?
Ah, that is vintage Edwin Starr. Good God y'all. Try it.
I'll pass.
No, it feels good.
Good God y'all! Good God y'all!
And in other spectacular news, I don't know if you heard this today. I just heard it before I came down here. Apparently, Katie Holmes is pregnant. And, they literally gasped, like I just said, they've cloned Hitler. Like, it, you people gasped. It's a natural thing. She's going out with Tom Cruise, and they apparently had sex. I'm guessing. Because when Tom Cruise puts his penis inside a woman, he does it all the way. He does it very enthusiastically. He puts his penis... because she feels that you need to get the most out of your penis. Do not be glib about my penis. I do not like that. Apparently he jumped from the couch right into her vagina. Boom, boom. Right in.
But we turn now to important developments, updated developments. In the Valerie Plame scandal, last Thursday, New York Times reporter Judith Miller was finally released from prison after spending 85 days behind bars for protecting the confidentiality of her source in regards to the investigation surrounding the disclosure of a CIA agent's identity. As you can imagine, after 85 days in prison, she was eager to get home and spend some time with Lou Dobbs.
The idea of 85 days in jail is something that most of us cannot comprehend. It is, give us the sense of what you had to endure.
Oh, I've seen this movie.
Yeah.
so angry. Well, Judith?
Well, it was the most soulless place I've ever been.
Really? You work here?
I think we don't realize how much we take things for granted, like color, silence, the right to take 2 aspirin when you feel you have a headache.
The perfume counter at Bonwit Teller. A bi-weekly Frederick Fekai Tintin blowout. Mojitos. Did you know you have to dump in front of everybody? That wasn't fun. I didn't like that. Not one bit. How did Miller maintain her sanity?
I also have to tell you, by the way, that your clock, your Judith Miller has been in jail for X number of days, gave me a lot of encouragement.
Also giving Miller encouragement, Jim Lehrer of the PBS NewsHour and his teardrop tattoo. I'm Jim Lehrer, wishing you much love, Shorty. Now, why Miller was in jail is still a bit of a mystery. The investigation is into who leaked a CIA agent's identity, but Miller never wrote an article on the subject. In the waiver of confidentiality, she claims to have just received from her source, vice presidential aide Scooter Libby, he claims he gave her over a year ago. So why are you in jail?
I didn't want to be in jail, but I knew that the principle of confidentiality was so important that I had to, because if people can't trust us to come to us to tell us the things the government and powerful corporations don't want us to know, we're dead in the water. The public won't know. The public won't know.
Hey, guess what? You've been in jail 85 days, and we still don't know! We are joined by senior Washington correspondent Robert Cordry. Rob, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Rob. I have to tell you, Rob.
And again, you know, you've been covering these types of cases for a long, long time, but I have to say, this is still a pretty confusing case, and I
can explain it in 12 words.
Why would you want to?
Let me do this, John. Yellow cake, probably fake. Retaliate? Call Mr. Hate. She's a spy. Investigate. Won't testify? Incarcerate. Months go by. She stays the course. Libby says, reveal the source. Miller freed. Spills the beans. Goes for dinner. Rotten Queens. JFK. Blown away. It's the end of the world, Vogue.
Thank you, Rob.
Tequila!
Damn it.
Yeah.
I see. So then, you were lying.
About what?
About how good your cards were.
I was bluffing.
Aha! And what is bluffing? Is it not another word for lying? Okay, sorry to break up this party, but I've got resumes to fix before work tomorrow.
Rach, we gotta settle.
Settle what?
The Jamestown colony of Virginia.
The game, Rachel, the game. You owe us money for the game.
Oh, right.
Finally. You know, I got some interesting suggestions. I actually listen to the senators when they bring forth ideas. And they brought forth some really interesting ideas during the course of our conversation. And one of the most interesting ideas I heard was, why don't you pick somebody who hasn't been a judge?
Well, yeah, that would fit right in with your decision to put Brownie in charge of FEMA, even though he was the guy who checked up on the horses. See if the horse he got registered. That's exactly the guy you want in charge when the big hurricane hits New Orleans and drowns a city. Let's get the horse guy. Bush, you got a history of doing this. You got a history of bad judgment. Putting the wrong people in the wrong place at the wrong time. And then disaster happens. Then you say, nobody could have known. Well, everybody knew. Everybody but you.
Adam.
Some conservatives have said that you did not pick someone like Scalia and Thomas because you shied away from a battle with the Democrats. Is there any truth to that? And are you worried about charges of cronyism?
Well, Well, I just described to you why I picked Harriet. I'd be glad to go over it again if you like.
Arrogant bastard. He already said she was qualified. How dare you ask again? Remember what God did to Moses in the desert? God told Moses to go to some certain point and take out your staff and beat it on the rock. And so Moses did that. He went out in the desert and he found this rock and he took his staff and he hit it. And nothing happened, so he hit it again. It's called human nature. If it doesn't work the first time, you're going to do it a second time. Oh, little sidebar. God punished Moses for that. He wouldn't let him go to the promised land because he had the temerity, like this reporter, to question God.
In other words, she's eminently qualified.
No, monkey. You say that she's qualified. Just like you said Brownie was qualified. Just like you said Rummy knew what he was doing invading Iraq. Just like you said giving billions to the super rich was going to help the economy. Because you know what? We never got a job from a poor man. So it makes sense to give whatever trillions you have left to the super rich. Because they can, at that point, if they wanted to, hire somebody with those billions you gave them. Well, you know, George, if you give me billions, I may hire someone too. Oh, that's right. I'm not super rich already. I need the money, so I don't qualify.
She shares my judicial philosophy.
Which means what? She's against women's rights. She hates the poor and the black. And she'll blow a Saudi sultan?
She is a pioneer when it comes to the law.
Well, see, now the little boy's back to his bullet points. Just before he got in front of the microphone, someone gave him a card with 6 or 7 bullet points on it. And he memorized those 6 or 7 bullet points. So any question you ask him, he's going to come back to those same 6. He can't think. He can memorize small things for small amounts of time. And that's how he gets to a press conference. Eminently qualified. Pioneer in Texas. I know her heart. Pioneer. Eminently qualified. Good heart. Good character. Pioneer. Eminently qualified. Good heart. That's all he can do. He can't think. He asks him a question, and his little default mind picks out either answer number 3 or answer number 5, and that's what you get. He can't apply the thought process to your question.
You know, the guy.
Is the president okay? He seems stuck. Secret servicemen are looking at him more strangely than usual.
I'm upbeat about the tone of the hearings, but except I'm mindful of the fact that somebody as eminently as qualified as John Roberts did have half the Democrat caucus voted against him.
They should have all voted against him because of what Joe Biden said. We don't know anything about you. You're asking us to roll the dice on a lifetime appointment for someone whose primary loyalty is to George Bush. That's a horrible gamble, that nobody should be able to take for someone else. How dare you, Joe Biden? How dare every Democrat that voted for that guy? You have no clue what he stands for. He does a decent interview, but shouldn't you have a clue what the guy stands for before you put him in charge of everybody's life for the next 30, 35 years?
I picked the best person I could find.
So, you picked the best person you could find.
People are going to be amazed at her strength of character and her intellect.
Well, George, I'm sure her intellect amazes you every day. I'll bet she can multiply 7 times 8. I'll bet $50 on it. I'll bet $100 she can multiply 8 by 7. Can you, George? George, tell me, now that it's out of context, what does supplant mean? You can't tell me, can you, George? Can you multiply 8 times 7? George, I got one for you. How many ounces are in a pound, and how many grams are in an ounce? You know that one, don't you, George?
But the tone will be set by the people who conduct the hearings and give the speeches and run the television ads. When it's all said and done, the American people are going to know what I know, though.
Wait, let me guess. And that would be that she's eminently qualified, a pioneer in Texas, she has a good heart, eminently qualified, pioneer, good heart, good character, eminently qualified, and a real swell gal.
I just answered. I picked the best person I could find. People know we're close. But you got to understand, because of our closeness, I know the character of the person. It's one thing to say a person can read the law, and that's important, and understand the law. But what also matters, Adam, is the intangibles.
Interesting, George, how all your appointments, they don't look so good on paper, but they have that intangible. And if we would just trust you and your magnificent judgment that has done us so good so far, everything will turn out fine. It's like the Dick Cheney telling Rush Limbaugh, in 10 years, you're going to agree with us how great she is. And Rush said, why do we have to wait 10 years? How come you can't pick someone that we know is good now?
It's a lovely song. But I repeat, this is a private club. People can hire the kind of entertainment they want. It's called freedom.
Your Honor, beware private industry. Television networks are becoming afraid of losing their sponsors. Their parent companies fear losing government contracts. And suddenly, Robin Williams can't joke about a homosexual sponge at the Oscars. Linda Ronstadt got kicked out of her hotel room in Las Vegas for making anti-war comments at one of her concerts. Bill Maher got cancelled for making a politically incorrect joke on a show called Politically Incorrect. Never mind the government or state action. It's private corporations that are becoming the biggest predators of free expression. Censorship can certainly be no less acceptable when the motivating factor is money.
All right. I think the idea of squashing this song is ridiculous. The idea that an anti-war message can be deemed un-American is patently preposterous. In fact, as someone who considers herself patriotic, I'm offended by the accusation that America is pro-war.
Here comes the dreaded however.
However, as much as I would like to find on your behalf, Mr. Damon, as much as private enterprises are more and more being subjected to civil rights actions, I'm afraid a club owner still has the right to control his entertainment content. Your motion is therefore denied.
Oh, bollocks, I never win.
You know, to me, a person's strength of character counts a lot. I know her strength of character.
Well, now here we're stuck in this Bush speak that nobody knows what it means. What does that mean? I know her character and she has good character. What does that mean? George, your wife, does she have good character? I'm asking because she's pro-choice. And your mother, George, does she have good character? I ask because she also is pro-choice. And the twins, George, do they have good character? Well, I think no is the easiest answer to that. But if you said yes, I'd have to remind you that they are pro-choice. So the four women you know closest, the four women you know best, they're all pro-choice. And I think you'd agree they have good character. And now you're telling us that this lady has good character and you know her. So, odds are 4 out of 5 that she's pro-choice. Hey, I guess I better shut up.
And after spending a lot of time thinking about this nomination, there's no doubt in my mind that's the way Harriet Myers is. There's no doubt in my mind it's the way Chief Justice John Roberts is as well.
Butcher, it's very lucky for you that I don't have that Nexus search business and I don't have a staff, because I think you said those exact words. There's no doubt in my mind that Saddam has weapons of mass destruction. You are absolutely, certainly guaranteed in your mind to a certainty, to a guarantee that he had those, and you were just fucking wrong. You took a wild guess so you could invade and steal his oil, kill 2,000 soldiers. So what does that tell us about your judgment? Who are you going to blame this on when she goes crazy on us, George? You going to say your staff gave you bad advice? No, this is all on you. Since you're putting your reputation on the line for her, what if she doesn't make it through? What if, well, we know the Democrats won't block it, but what if the Republicans send signals to you that they're not going to vote for her? What are you going to do then, George? You're going to look really stupid then.
Thank you, Mr. President. You've
taken time to express that you know her heart, her character. You've emphasized your friendship. So it seems reasonable that over the course of the years you've known her, perhaps you have discussed the issue of abortion. Have you ever discussed with Harriet Myers abortion? Or have you gleaned from her comments her views on that subject?
I have no litmus test.
But, Monkey, that's not what she asked you. She asked you if you had a conversation, and your reply was you have no test. No, that doesn't work. When someone says, how many lumps of sugar do you want in your coffee, and you say, Iowa, see, that doesn't fit. Your answer is supposed to sort of fit the question. By the way, George, pop quiz. Explain what a litmus test is. First, in the political context, and then second, what is a litmus test when you're not talking about politics? Can you explain that? I'll bet you $50 you can't, George. Matter of fact, I'll give you $25 if you can spell litmus.
There's no litmus test. What matters to me is her judicial philosophy.
Here we go again. Back on the same merry-go-round. He can't think. Boy, if I had more time, I would just write down the 6 or 7 answers he gives to every question. But one of them is, she shares my judicial philosophy, which means she hates blacks and gays, she hates the poor, and apparently she's pro-choice.
What does she believe the proper role of the judiciary is relative to the legislative and the executive branch?
George, for the first time today, you kind of impressed me just there. You were able to name all three branches of government. Of course, you could have been looking at what you had written on your hand.
And she'll be asked all kinds of questions up there.
You insincere piece of shit, saying she'll be asked a lot of questions. Sure, but will she answer any of them? Didn't you tell us that she coached Roberts? So what makes you think she's going to answer any questions? Any question that they ask her, she's going to say, I don't think it's right to comment on a matter that may come before the court. And you son of a bitch, you look us right in the eye and say, oh, there'll be lots of questions asked later. Let's not worry about that. Oh, it's a little thing. Lifetime appointment. Everyone in America, what are you asking about? There'll be a lot of questions later. Yeah, monkey, but no answers. And the Democrats don't have the courage to demand answers. Oh, it's such a sad day to be a Democrat. Sad and ashamed. That's me.
And so there's no litmus test. Correct. I'll say it again. There is no litmus test.
And check out the arrogant bastard. He thinks he's clever. He thinks he's cute. He thinks he's smart. He's just like that little kid. You ever had a little kid in your family, you know, maybe like, whatever, 3-4 years old, and everything the little boy does is cute? Oh, look, he said this. Oh, look, he stood that way. Oh, look, he picked up his toy. Oh, look. What is Bush, 56, 57 now? 57 years he's been like that. Oh, look at George. He remembered litmus. And he's so proud of himself. He remembered litmus. I'll say it again. Litmus. What was I saying again? Litmus. God damn, what an arrogant little boy here. Made the analogy the other day. You ever see that Twilight Zone with the little spoiled brat got everything he wanted? And everyone had to say, boy, you sure look nice today, Billy. Boy, that's a nice looking shirt. But I tell you, you're a handsome guy. You sure are, Billy. Can I get anything for you, Billy? You want me to do this? The whole family was like that all the time. And anybody that crossed him got turned into a toad.
You've been listening to Bart Cop Radio.